Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we celebrate a great saint of the Franciscan calendar, one who, however, whose reputation in America apparently is almost hidden compared to her fame in Europe. So let me give you a few details. Saint Colette was born in 1381, and her birth was, even that was miraculous. She was born to a mother of 60 years of age, an answer to prayers after a lifetime of infertility. Finally, her mother received the grace that she had prayed for so fervently. This child, Colette, her father, was even older. Saint Colette was very devout and prayerful as a child and beautiful of aspect, but she suffered from a growth anomaly, and until the age of 14, she was always much smaller than her peers. In fact, at the age of 14, she was about the size of a 9-year-old child, and it appeared that she was basically stunted for life. And this caused great distress to her parents, especially her elderly father, who, realizing that he wouldn't be around for too many more years, was concerned for how she would make her way in the world and how she could even help her elderly mother with the household chores. And the sensitive girl, sensitive in the sense that these concerns of her parents touched her heart. Before that, she had no concern about her size, seemed not to even be aware of it, nor even of her extraordinary beauty. But hearing her father's complaint, she made a pilgrimage with some other villagers from her town of Corbie in France to a nearby shrine dedicated to Our Lady about 10 miles away. And when she was there, she asked the Lord if it was his will that she should always remain so small, and expressing her desire that if it be for the glory of God and his will, then that she be given normal size. And at the end of her prayer, she was already several inches taller than when she entered the shrine. And this was noted not only by her, but by all the others in her pilgrimage. And of course, it was the beginning of greater fame for the child among her village. Likewise, she also, as soon as she became aware of her beauty, which was made known to her, especially through an incident while she was in prayer, a young man approached her with some kind of proposal, some kind of words that she did not appreciate, and she sent him away rather sternly, rebuked his advances, and she even, there's a little miraculous incident involved there. The boy leaving the church found that he was paralyzed as soon as he got to the door of the cathedral. He couldn't leave. And only when he returned to her and asked for forgiveness and received it was he able to exit. And Colette at that point also petitioned God for fear that her beauty could become a cause of sin either for herself or for others. She prayed that if it be God's will, her beauty also be taken away. And the Lord allowed a sort of compromise on that point, and her once vibrant and beautiful complexion from that moment on took on an aspect of a dull white color. Her features remained the same, but this change in her complexion gave her an otherworldly look, and one which also inspired in others a certain respect for her apparent holiness. Saint Colette, her life is full of remarkable events. Many miracles are attributed to her, including the resuscitation of several dead persons. But her most well-known accomplishment is the restoration of the Poor Clares. At the time, the Poor Clares had, I won't say fallen into a state of terrible relaxation. I'm not sure what the state of the order was at that point, but they were following a mitigated rule. And Saint Colette, she didn't begin with the idea of reforming the Poor Clares. In fact, she began after the death of her parents when she was only 22 years of age. She began as an anchoress, a practice which now no longer exists to my knowledge, but then, even then was rare, but it existed. And an anchoress was someone consecrated to prayer, the contemplative life, and to what I think most of us would consider an extreme form of mortification or penance, in that she would be walled up in a small cell within the church in view of the tabernacle, where she would pray. She would receive her nourishment through a small aperture in the wall of the cell, and dedicate herself to constant lifelong prayer. And that was her original plan. But being that God had marked her for other things, within 4 years, she had gone through a transformation. She had repeated inspirations to reform the Poor Clares. At that point, she was already a Third Order Franciscan, but she had this idea of living the rule of St. Clare without any kinds of compromises or alterations. She doubted whether her inspiration was from God and thought, perhaps this is just pride on my part, and so resisted the thought. But God let her know that it was his plan that she follow this inspiration. First he took away her speech, then her sight, and only when she in prayer cried out to God and offered herself without reservations for whatever it was that he desired, then he let her know his desire by restoring her speech and sight, and she understood then that she was to follow this inspiration. The Lord sent her a spiritual director who mediated then a blessing from the Pope and an authorization to go forward with this plan, and with his help began the restoration of a pure, perfect observance of the rule of St. Clare. I think it's probably not too far off the mark to suggest that her status and her accomplishment is somewhat like that of Saint Teresa of Avila, who brought a restoration to the Carmelite monasteries. And Saint Colette did the same for the Poor Clares, and her life was marked by many mystical gifts, miracles, and prophecies. The moral lesson, one of the moral lessons that we can take from her example, especially relevant today in our day of unbridled hedonism and the cult of the body and of material pleasure and immodesty and even perversity now is her desire to please God and even to be deprived of her physical beauty in order to avoid sinning or offending God, either in her own self or by causing others to sin. And it's a remarkable contrast then that she makes to the prevailing sentiment of our day, especially, I won't say only among women, but it's particularly notable in the way women today many times are tempted to dress, to bring undue attention to their physical properties, to their physical qualities, without regard to whether that pleases God and how that might help them or hurt them in terms of becoming holy and of leading others as well to God. St. Colette gives us an example of total devotion, of complete obedience to the will of God, which was her remarkable quality, perhaps above all, and the one she strived to instill in her sisters. The poor Clares were known for their poverty, and she, of course, also embraced with great love this Franciscan charism, but she placed obedience even on a higher level than that holy poverty. And her inspiration was that of love, love of God and love of neighbor. And so we turn to St. Colette, this great virgin saint and restorer of the rule of St. Clare, and ask her to intercede for us in our day, especially for our young women, that they be inspired to seek out and to do, above all, the will of God, and to look to eternity as the goal, assured that even whatever privations this life may bring in eternity, all of our desires and wishes and perfection will be realized. Praise be Jesus and Mary.